6 days before the Passover, Jesus came to Bethany, the home of Lazarus, whom he had raised from the dead. There they gave a dinner for him. Martha served, and Lazarus was one of those at the table with him. Mary took a pound of costly perfume made of pure nard, anointed Jesus' feet, and wiped them with her hair. The house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. But Judas Iscariot, one of his disciples, the one who was about to betray him, said, "Why was this perfume not sold for 300 denarii and the money given to the poor?" He said this not because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief. He kept the common purse and used to steal what was put into it. Jesus said, "Leave her alone. She bought it so that she might keep it for the day of my burial. You always have the poor with you, but you do not always have me." On Ash Wednesday, 4.5 weeks ago, we began the 40-day journey that we call Lent. We spoke the traditional words on Ash Wednesday twice in the liturgy. "Remember that you are dust, and to dust you shall return." These words are supposed to be spoken when the ashes are placed on the forehead in the form of a cross. But I changed that. Truth is, I've changed that for most of my ministry. The sentence is a holy reminder of our mortality. With the ashes in the shape of a cross, the words also remind us of the mortality of Jesus, who died for us. But when placing the ashes, I don't use the words we're supposed to use. Not because I don't want to speak of death, but because there's fundamentally more to our faith than death. I'm the last one to deny our mortality, that we're all going to die. But I can never end there. These are the words I say as I put the cross-shaped ashes on foreheads on Ash Wednesday. "Child of God, as you travel from birth to mortal death, remember that Jesus Christ suffered and died for your eternal salvation." To me, that's a better summary of what that cross on the forehead means. It's not just enough, and it's never super meaningful me to just look at you in the eyes and tell you, "You're going to die." We need to speak of our eternal salvation. We need to speak of what our faith tells us, that as you travel from birth to mortal death, Jesus Christ died for your salvation. When I look into your eyes on Ash Wednesday, I need to say that, because our faith is more than just an acknowledgement that we're going to die. One Lent over 40 years ago, I had a Sunday sermon series that I titled "Death, the Final Frontier." Now, for those who know Star Trek, you'll recognize my play on words. The original introduction of the TV shows and the movies begin with the words, "Space, the final frontier." But I believe that as human beings, death is truly our final frontier. What still seems fresh in my mind is when a church member came up to me and said, "If you're going to talk about death every Sunday, I'm not going to be coming to church during Lent." And this church member literally boycotted worship all of Lent. The next time I saw her was Easter Sunday. And guess what? I talked about death on Easter Sunday. How can you not? The ultimate context of resurrection, the ultimate context of us getting eternal life is death. I've probably already told you one of my favorite Sunday school stories. The teacher asks the students, what do you have to do to get into heaven? And one child excitingly says, you have to die. True enough. Today's story of Mary washing the feet of Jesus is really a story about death. Jesus himself explained it to Judas. This anointing with this perfume is about my burial. It's about death. Now, Judas was supposedly distracted about the budget. In today's economy, this perfume would be valued at about $10,000. But Jesus was saying, this expense, this perfume, isn't about the budget. This is about death. My death. And there's nothing more valuable than that. The larger context of today's story is really important. Jesus had just raised Lazarus from the dead. Now, there's a famous line when Jesus said to open up the tomb of the dead Lazarus. The bystanders protested. Lazarus had been dead for 4 days. And to use my favorite translation in this case is the King James translation. The bystanders said, he stinketh. That's important for today's story. Because the stench of death was still in the air. Even at this dinner party that they had shortly after Lazarus came back to life, this dinner party to welcome Lazarus back home and to thank Jesus for this miracle, I'm sure that the guests were still whispering about Lazarus. He stinketh. But there's nothing like expensive perfume made from the rare spikenard plants to remove the stench of death. That's what Mary was doing. The stench of death was being removed at that dinner party. But very soon, in just a few days, Jesus himself would die. The stench of death would be in the air again. The death of Jesus would cause the whole world to stinketh. The anointing today is a reminder that the stench of death does not linger with Jesus, won't linger for very long. Because in Christ Jesus, as we saw with the raising of Lazarus, in Christ Jesus, death becomes life. In Christ, death does not get the last word. Thus, when I put the ashes on your forehead on Ash Wednesday, I don't want death to be the last word. I want eternal life to be the last word. I love what we call the how much more parables. For example, Jesus tells of a father who takes care of his children. And then Jesus says, how much more will your heavenly Father take care of you? There's a lot of parables like that. The story of the prodigal son, which we heard last Sunday, is really a how much more parable. You could summarize it this way. If the father in the story forgives his wayward, sinful son and celebrates his return home, how much more will your heavenly Father forgive you and celebrate you, welcoming you home into the heavenly Father's arms? The raising of Lazarus really is a how much more story. I see it that way. If the power of God will raise Lazarus from the dead to give him a little bit more earthly life, how much more will it be when God brings Jesus back to life? It's so much more. There's a book titled, How Much More, with the subtitle, Discovering God's Extravagant Love in Unexpected Places. It's good for us to look for where God's love happens in our lives. But the most unexpected place to find God's extravagant love is in death. In God's extravagant love turns death into life. In just a few short days after Mary washed the feet of Jesus, Jesus would wash the feet of the apostles. The washing of feet is a symbolic action, a symbolic call to humble service. When Jesus said that the poor will be with you always, he wasn't saying that the poor aren't important. This verse, unfortunately, has been used to reduce service to the poor. Oh, they're here all the time. Doesn't matter. That's not what Jesus is saying. Jesus is certainly referring to a verse in Deuteronomy chapter 15. Since there will never cease to be some in need on the earth, I therefore command you, God is speaking, I therefore command you, open your hands to the poor and the needy neighbor in your land. Jesus was referring to that verse when he said the poor will be with you always. Jesus is telling his disciples in this story to take care of the poor. He's here only a little while longer. Poor will be with us always. The storyteller John told us that Judas was filled with greed, which is the opposite of caring for the poor. The sad truth is, the reason there will always be the poor, the reason there will always be extreme poverty is because there will always be extreme greed. And Jesus always, always takes the side of extreme poverty. And he created the church to continue this mission, to be opposed to greed, and to serve the poor and the needy in our land. In other words, the church is called to extravagant love because the love of Jesus is extravagant. Now, John the storyteller has been telling us this all along. To name a few, at the very beginning, there was the extravagant wedding gift of water turned into wine. Extravagance. Jesus showed extravagant grace in his conversation with Nicodemus and with the woman at the well. Jesus gave an extravagant feast with just 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. And Jesus gave extravagant life to Lazarus. Jesus was all about extravagant love. Now, when I decided on this sermon title, Extravagant Love, I was actually thinking about the extravagant love that Mary showed to Jesus. But this is a how much more story about God. If Mary showed extravagant love to Jesus, how much more will God show extravagant love to his Son and to all of us? The extravagant love of God is this: God raised his Son from death into life. And that same extravagance is for us. God will raise us from death to life. Child of God, as you travel from birth to mortal death, remember that Jesus Christ suffered and died for your eternal salvation. In the meantime, remember to show extravagant love to the children of God. Let us pray. In our prayer, we think of all the greed that's in the world, the selfishness, the self-centeredness, the harm that people do to others. As we pray, we think of the suffering and the death caused by such greed and selfishness. As we pray, we think of the hungry, the thirsty, the homeless. As we pray, we think about those who are living their lives without love. Now listen to the voice of God speaking to us and to all of these. God says, life. God's word to us today is life. Love. Life.